Good morning. We have to do some furniture. Let's see. We've got a few minutes still. Do you care if I just take this down off of here and just use this?
What's that?
The Kleenex. We don't need two. Just care to share. I don't like clutter.
I'm good.
What? They exist? No, they're mine.
Right back.
So we've got a few minutes. Thankfully. I don't like not having a lunch. Oh, okay. I didn't even.
So.
All right, I'll go ahead and call this January 15, 2020 session to order. Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creech?
Here.
Commissioner Day?
Here.
Commissioner Robertson?
Here. We'll all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a prayer. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for another day to serve Preble County and to serve you. Lord, I just thank you for all the blessings that you've given us as a county and as a people. Lord, I just ask that you give us your wisdom as we make decisions on behalf of the people we represent. And I ask that you put a hedge of protection around the first responders and everyone that represents us here and abroad in the military. As they protect our freedom. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Today on the agenda, we have public comments, approval minutes, financial considerations, correspondence and reports, agreements and contracts, travel requests, approval of vouchers, and we do not have any meetings. Do you have any additional? All right. So at this time, we will open the floor up for public comments for anyone who would like to addresses.
I'll get started and then I get out of the way. All right. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jerry Wick. I live at 227 Vanessa Drive in West Delhi. As I mentioned last time I was here, I spoke with Mo Bosbaum, the attorney for the Manufactured Home Commit Program, explaining my original contact with her is how they can license a trailer park that doesn't have adequate sewage system. Well, bless her heart, she sent an inspector out to the trailer park
January 6th of this year.
Thank you.
And I quote, "There is raw sewage that is running on top of the ground from septic tank." I'm going to stop here for a minute. There is no septic tank or leach field at the trailer park. To the northeast corner of the community, it appears that some sort of failure with the underground leaching or sewage lines. Again, there's no underground sewage, there's no leach lines. Once again, when I talked to her, she said, "We have a history with this individual who owns this trailer park. He owns other trailer parks. It's the same situation there at trailer park."
Interesting.
The commission has a duo. This is a gift for you folks. You need to stick this in the EPA's face and tell them, "We're done with meetings until you fix that problem." Because now we're back into the finger-pointing mode. The EPA is going to point to the health department. The health department is going to say it's the EPA. And Perry Mason next door here won't do anything for the Provo County Commissioners. The attorney told me that this is absolutely anything in that trail park is EPA. Once that sewage flows out of those property lines, it's on the local health officials. The EPA says the same thing. So,
can you get that in writing? Can you get it in writing? I mean, we know we've heard that, but can they put it in writing for us? So it's not us saying they said this and they said that.
Do you know where in the? We'll look for where in the Ohio Revised Code is their responsibility. Because you're right.
Last year, Chris State, the whole commission told me that the EPA was responsible for that trailer park.
Right. But you said once it leaves their property.
The trailer park, the EPA, who was that guy? Well, Mo, that attorney says from the Manufacturers Home Commission that when that leaves that trailer park, that contamination is under the jurisdiction of local health officials. You know, my question is, how long is the Provo County Prosecutor and the Provo County Health Department going to allow a health crisis not only to continue but grow? And like I've said many times before, and these folks here today, if raw sewage, and that raw sewage flows through my neighborhood, through Stone River, how long would they put up with that if that was flowing in front of their house? And this is a gift.
Well, at least.
You know, I strongly urge the commissioners to tell the Provo County Prosecutor today file charges on the Provo County Health Department for misfeasance, malfeasance, and they're just not doing their job.
Who would authorize the citation of the trailer park? Would that be the Ohio EPA or would that be our health department?
Well, they decided this is the licensing agency for the trailer park.
Right.
Okay. They can shut that trailer park down, but they have to have cooperation with the Ohio EPA. It's a cluster.
All right.
But, I mean, the leadership at the health department in our county and at the prosecutor's office, I think the words I've come up is feckless and pusillanimous. Look them words up, because they describe these people with the teeth. Because there's no leadership there. I mean, you have got a golden opportunity here for a redo. Here's three things the EPA, this is what their, this is their agenda. Power, control, money. And like I said in my letter last week to the paper, you got the EPA that can't shut a trailer park down. Their exact words, "We have no authority to shut that trailer park down." But then they come in here and threaten you with a $16 million fine. By what authority? If you can't shut down a 12 trailer park, I'm not worried about your threats about suing you for $16 million.
That's a good point.
I mean, something has got this. I'm telling you, this is a gift from God. If you want to fight them, you know, Rod, you said no one's ever won the EPA against the EPA. We can win this one. You know, the attorney that I've retained to research a class action lawsuit, I sent him a copy of this too, so he's aware of it. Representative J. Todd Smith always has a copy. I mean, you know, 2009, November 9th,
2009 was the first complaint there. That's been over 10 years now. And now there's another.
And it took them 4 years to even let us know anything was going on.
Well, it's a whole new egg.
Mm. Yeah.
New sheriff in town. You know, I'm not going to step by. And,
I agree.
You know, it's got to stop. This is like I said, I'm going to go down that. I'm going to start it. Push comes to shove, I'm going to go down that ditch and get a 5-gallon bucket. I'm going to come right over here and throw it on the courthouse door. And then I'm going to get arrested. And when I get out of jail, I'm going to go get another 5-gallon bucket.
Why don't you just go straight to the jail and skip it? Skip a step.
I'm too pretty for jail.
Thank you, Jerry. Good information.
Well, I will try to find out and see if I can find some nomenclature that states whose authority it is. But it makes sense to me, you know.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else for public comment? Oh, if you would step up to the, if you can. If you can't, you can, there's a microphone right there. Up and state your name and your address for the record, please.
Are you okay to stand at the podium, or do you want me to move it so you can get to it better? Okay. Nan, I'd comment. I was the one that was in that article, and when it says wrote on a napkin, that's not a literal term. That was a term that was used by our prosecutor when we sat with the Art Center and reviewed that contract over at the cafe across the street. So he said, it's kind of like it was wrote on a napkin. It wasn't, you know.
Well, it upset quite a few of the older members.
Sure.
It made it sound like a joke. Very serious.
No, and that was a term that I used that I heard. So, and when you're looking at a legal document, there's a lot more to it than was in that document, I can tell you.
It was a blessing for the Art Association, because we would not have been able to build as soon as we did if that land hadn't been given to us to use for 100 years, if they used it as an art center.
Right.
Just for clarification, we knew the Agrees, the Art Center knew the Agrees. It's very clear, it's very spelled out very plainly. And I appreciate you coming in to clear that up, but the terms were agreed to back then, and it's pretty cut and dry that if you guys were done with it, it should go back to the town.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so that's what all the older members can't understand, why the motion.
Yeah, they want financially reimbursed
well,
the building.
See, yeah, but that's not right.
That was never spelled
not
out in the agreement.
Agreed on, you know.
But if you have two parties that are in a contract is to hold up what your end of the deal.
Uh-huh.
And if you have two parties, this is the way I believe.
Well,
if you
contracting at the VA medical centers, I work with a lot of attorneys and I've helped write all these contracts. It's legal and binding. It was agreed by both parties
at the time.
And so that's it's to all of it. Well, it's not that we hate our building, we love our building.
Yeah.
But it's just doing the right thing. You follow the law. If you make exceptions for this or exceptions for that and take this back away, there's no law.
Yeah.
Free for all. And that's how we feel.
Yeah. No, I appreciate your input. I feel like over time things change, and if both parties are willing to negotiate and it's a better deal, you know, that's where I'm at.
That way because it was so good for the county to do that, and now it looks like we don't care about the county or the Art Association. They just want the money. They want to sell the building. They don't want it. They want to sell the building and use the money for that other building. And so, and we have gone, several of us, to one of the old meetings we had, and we've expressed the interest that they use the old building, you know, on Hillcrest for children because of school buses and also for people in wheelchairs and nursing homes. They used to come in buses, you know, and they tour, you know, and on that street, on some highway. I mean, there's no big parking right next to it, you know. They had to cross a busy street. There's not a light there. And then some of the people were concerned, there's a bar. There's a bar down the street. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking, well, anybody drunk can walk in, you know, they don't know. Or, you know, it's not a safe area.
Was you on the original board, or?
Yes.
I have a question for you because I've never met anybody. So that the land at the time was probably worth two to three.
Meeting with all these contractors, meeting with the banks, meeting, you know, and getting everything lined up. And we worked many, many hours. And even after it was built, we painted the inside. We cleaned, we scrubbed the floors, and we couldn't afford to pay house cleaning, you know. So we did everything. And then, we were very happy and proud of our building, you know. And it was used by the whole community, and we didn't get money from Columbus, Ohio, or all over the state. It was a community.
Yeah.
And so it was, everyone felt they were part of it.
Well, my question is, and again, I've never talked to anybody that was on the original board, but who made the decision? And it's kind of comes back to this contract. Land value at that time, it sits on 2 acres. The land was probably worth $3,000 max.
Well, it doesn't matter who made the decision.
Why would we put $250,000 now? Who put $250,000 on $3,000 worth of property? You'd been better off to buy your own property instead of working out a deal with the county.
I think it was more expensive
than that. Well, 30 years ago, I don't think it was. I guess my point is, to me, I look at it, I'm going back in time to, what's that? Yeah.
That's a big, everyone wants to have business land to sell so they get a bigger profit.
Right. Then your
was the land, did they buy the land from the county?
Yeah, yeah.
Did they buy that land? That was county ground, right?
Well,
I mean, but I'm saying they were leasing it, so technically the value would have been determined by the county. Yeah.
I was treasurer at the time.
Yeah.
But the reason it was you took that opportunity is because that afforded you the ability to move forward with the building.
Yes. And we didn't feel like we should have taken advantage of it or anything.
The commissioners were very nice to agree to this and give us a 100-year lease. Mm-hmm. As long as we used it for an art association, and that was our goal, and that was the contract with you and us.
Right.
And the paper made it sound like they took advantage of us, and we were dumb people. We don't know legalness.
Right.
But they had attorneys, and you know.
But this contract was drawn up by attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's filed with the state of Ohio.
We've got a copy of it.
So, oh, I know. I've read it.
Well, I can tell you this. I apologize if you felt like you were being degraded, but that was never our intent.
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. I know. Sometimes you just say, I do the same thing.
Yeah.
I wish I hadn't said something. We all get guilty of that, you know? Mm-hmm.
There were decisions made that we have to live with now, and it's pretty clear cut on how that has to roll out, and we appreciate you coming in.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Because it really was good for the community, the Art Association, starting that back then. It really has grown.
It's worries me with the children and the school buses and the seniors, because, you know, this is a new for me, but, you know, they're in nursing homes and the bus would come and they go, now I don't know if they have that opportunity, you know.
Right.
And there's no, I don't know if they have their elevator in yet, if they would want to go upstairs, you know, they can't climb the stairs.
If they got that elevator, they should have that.
Challenge.
Right.
You did?
No, I'm sure.
Oh, you don't have to.
You don't have to. You're here. You can speak your mind.
We appreciate you coming in.
Yeah.
We do. Thank you so much for coming in. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else for public comment? No? Okay. All right. So we will move on. At this time, I will accept approval of the minutes.
Assigned the generalization note received the CD recordation both the official minutes of January 13th, 2020 regular session meeting.
Second.
Any discussion? Jim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes. I will accept in a motion to note receipt of court entry from Judge Overmeyer concerning the collection of court costs, special funds, probate, magistrate fees for the month of December 2019.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? I'll read the letter here. It's hereby ordered that the Preble County Auditor shall transfer the amount of $700 that was received in line item 149-400-1015124 to the juvenile court line item 150-400-015124. Special items magistrate fees. Said amount is the magistrate costs that were collected in the probate court for the month of December 2019. Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes. Accept a motion to approve Resolution 65 concerning the authorized expenditure of $5,900 flyover for photograph of the Preble County landfill to update the topographic mapping landfill.
Move to approve Resolution 65.
Second.
Any discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes. Accept a motion to approve Resolution 66. Reference authorized expenditure of $9,000 to purchase and installation of fencing around public drop-off recycling bins at National Trail Schools Recycling.
Move to approve Resolution 66.
Sorry.
Any discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes. Accept a motion to approve Resolution 67, more obligation, various departments.
Move to approve Resolution 67.
Second.
From Treasurer to Vendor Meter Investment Management, $2,000. From FCFC to the Vendor Preble County Board of Developmental Disabilities, $4,092.24. From Children's Services to the vendor of Treasurer, Ohio, $1,181.25. Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to not receive a letter from the Ohio EPA, reference January 3rd, 2020, Explosive Gas Monitor Probe Report Landfill.
Move to not receive a letter from the Ohio EPA.
Second.
The Ohio EPA found no detectable exceedances at any of the gas probes during the review. Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to note receipt and approve a legal ad, reference zoning case 1481 to be heard on February 5th, 2020.
Move to note receipt and approve the legal ad.
Second.
Case is 1481. Billy T. and Cheryl Becker. Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to note receipt of the report from the JFS. The reference CSEA depository account bank reconciliation for December 2019.
Move to note receipt a letter from JFS.
Second.
All right, so this is the CSEA depository account. Previous statement balance was $2,458.25. That 18 deposits of $18,176.81. 18 checks written for $18,199.81. Leaving a statement balance of $2,435.25. There are two outstanding checks of $1,217, so the ending balance is $1,218.25. Further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to note receipt and approve by signing a letter to the payroll clerk concerning the probationary effective date correction, Kirsten Williams, JFS.
Move to note receipt and approve by signing the letter.
Second.
Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Agreements and contracts. I'll accept a motion to note receipt and approve by signing an amendment. Reference amendment number one to the courthouse parking lot construction agreement with Prograde. Extend completion date, capital improvement.
Move to note receipt, having served approved by signing the amendment.
Second.
Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to note receipt and approve by signing two agreements. Reference border bridge agreements with Union County and Wayne County, Indiana engineer.
Note receipt, consider approval by signing the two agreements.
Second.
Further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Accept a motion to note receipt and approve by signing an agreement. Reference road use maintenance agreement for Alamo Solar Project between the Board of Preble County Commissioners, Gaspar Township Trustees, Washington Township Trustees, and Alamo Solar One LLC engineer.
Move to note receipt, having served approval by signing the agreement.
And I'll second that.
Any discussion?
I have none.
I'm assuming that's what all you folks are here for.
Yes. So,
if you.
We're in the dark.
You'll need to come to the podium and state your name if you're going to, if you have any questions.
Yeah, sure.
David Woodruff,
No, that's fine.
We're just kind of want to know if we can know a little bit what's maybe in the contract. We're kind of in the dark about what the contract consists of and what's going on. It's been a long time since we've heard anything. If you can, please clarify it.
Well, we've actually had meetings in here with Kyle, because Kyle's been, our county engineer's been working on the RUMA for quite a while with our prosecutor. From the discussions that we've had, I really feel like that we have protected the county and the townships. Kyle will be taking pictures of the roads and their current condition, and so is there any damage, we will be able to go, and at the cost in the RUMA is they will pay the entire cost of any damage that's done to the roads. I feel good about, you know, the road use management maintenance agreement.
This should have been talked about up in Columbus. This was a major part. The RUMA was the major part of that. We bought a $80,000 drone, which is built into their contract that they're going to help pay for, where we're going to fly over, check the roads before and after. I mean, this is covering our butts is what it is. And talking with Kyle, you break it, you fix it kind of thing. They're going to leave the roads better than when they found them. That's
all in writing.
Yes.
It's all in the road use maintenance.
I'm sure it's the public record request, and you can get it. It's public record.
We're signing it now.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we approve it.
Did they indicate how many semi-loads of material are going over these roads?
So actually, we got an email from Joanna Clippinger last night, and they stated about 1,200 semi-loads.
Wait, I'm sorry. Hold on. 1 minute. Would you like us to call our
yeah, just go ahead and call Katie.
Go ahead and call her? Okay. So she may be able to answer some more. She was in the weeds of this.
Yeah, okay.
Kyle and Katie from the prosecutor's office, Kyle the engineer, they've gone through these both projects. As Rod said, we purchased a special drone that does LIDAR. They will be flying that on a regular basis. They're going to fly it in good weather and bad weather, so they know what it started out as. So if there's any issues, it will be up to the contractor to repair them, bring them back up to the same standards they were. I know they've gone through it frontwards and backwards, and to be real honest, we let the engineer do that because that's his specialty, and we don't need to be getting our nose in what he's doing. I spoke briefly with Kyle this morning. He feels very comfortable that everything's covered, that they've covered the bases frontwards and backwards, so if there's any damages, but we'll let Katie speak to it.
Right. And the cost of that drone, we had the drone already in the engineer's office, but there was a special piece of equipment that we purchased. That is included into this contract. They will be reimbursing us.
Just for clarification, that was a new drone and a new piece of equipment.
Oh, okay.
It was a new drone.
If you're gonna address, you'll have to come up and state your name. I'm sorry, but
real quick, just to answer.
We'll probably be transcribing this, and it's easier for the people who transcribe as you know to state your name.
Just to answer your question while he's walking up. 1,200 semis to do install. It's a one-time deal. Just for the fun of it, as farmers, I talked to a large animal producer today. He has 400 to 500 semi loads come in a year. Those the average life of those barns 10 years. So you're looking to 4,000 to 5,000 semi-loads on one road. A 1,000-acre farmer, you're looking at 240 semi-loads a year. That's hauling it in and out. A 2,500-acre farmer, which we have several of those in the county, you're looking at 600 semi-loads on one road a year. That's for the life of the farm. Brubaker Grain, just for the fun of it, they hold 4 million bushel, 12,000 truckloads going in and out of that facility a year. They turn their grain 1.5 times. So the amount of semis going in on a one-time deal doesn't really play into it for me, because we have our own trucks out on the roads hauling grain for the life of that road. I mean, we've been hauling on our roads for 80 years. You know, and of course, the equipment keeps getting bigger and bigger, but we're doing it every year. And typically under inclement weather, when the roads aren't even that solid, the winter and, you know, spring. So the amount of traffic during construction to me is pretty much irrelevant, considering what we're, that's what our roads are for, to use.
Okay, would you, go ahead.
Kenneth Cole, 1701, Man Road, Eaton. My concern is school buses. These roads are, from there on out, it's a problem, we gotta get over that by. But what are they gonna do about when the schools let in and out in the morning? Because it's, they're travel by Shawnee and Eaton School District.
Well, I think these concerns were hopefully addressed in the public meeting at the state in Columbus. I don't know. I mean, just like anything, it's a one-time construction, so hopefully that the construction people will be, you know, aware and thoughtful in letting the school buses go through when they need to.
Because I worked in construction, and you can tell another contractor not to do something, but they'll still do it.
Right.
Well, a lot of times, especially in a factory, we tell all these people got to get to work and they got to come down these hallways.
Mm-hmm.
And Kate, they won't do it, and they block the hallways off, and these people won't get
Well, I actually think there will be a contact number for us. There's a contact person
yes,
during construction. So if we have a local issue like that, we will be able to get a hold of someone. It'll probably be either Katie or Kyle, I would think probably Kyle, to address any issues that we would have during construction.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if these semis coming in and these narrow roads, chances are they're going to be blocking the road. And there's got to be no contract during the school bus routing time, so the buses can get back and forth. The kids has got to be
Yeah, any local issues that come up like that, we'll need to know about that so we can address it with the company because, yeah, we do not want anybody to be inconvenienced.
Hey, their concerns are of the RUMA and has it been well vetted through and concerns about road maintenance and things of that nature. And I know you guys, you and Kyle, have gone through that frontwards and backwards. And I just spoke with Kyle earlier. He feels very comfortable with it.
Gone through it several times. We used a basis off of one from Quicker and Heckler Law Firm as well to help us with doing that, and had their input on it. And then we even went a little further than that. We made sure we had a contact person in it. We made sure. I mean, one of the things to also with the bond that they have to have at the time of period. I don't have it in front of me, but the for the bond at the time when it's when the project is over with, you know, 30 years from now and they're taking it all down. I believe it says, what, $1 million or $2 million, but it is at, there is an adjustable inflation rate in there, so it will not, it'll be $2 million hopefully for the future rate. And Kyle was comfortable with that number because we made sure we ran through the numbers to see. So, I mean, that's one of the.
So even the future road use has been addressed in this contract, in that when it's time for it to be torn down, you know, the future road use is you know, accounted for.
And back to your question about blocking the road. Nobody can block the road unless it's pre-planned and all the proper people are notified. You know, if it's a simple offload real quick, yes, but if they're going to be there a while, they're going to have the road closed and things. They'll have to coordinate that through the engineering partnerships. Same as anybody else on the road. So.
And I would think with the amount of acreage they're going to have, they're not going to be parked on the road. They're going to be pulling in. I mean, with that amount of trucks, this isn't a simple drop-off. I mean, they're going to be, if there's 1,200 trucks going in there, they're probably going to have a big parking lot, more than likely. I think...
Sure that they did not use the freeze-thaw months, so they're not allowed to look, I think, from January through March or use those for the dates of determining what our roads are like. That way they're not looking at the worst days mm-hmm. and then saying, oh, we can put it back at this, the worst condition. Mm-hmm. So I do know that's in there to ensure that our roads are at least maintained at the same level they are. And I don't know whether if they, I don't know if they're going to have to do anything else to the roads to widen or anything. I have no idea. No clue.
Just the roads. Two cars, what you have to get over for two cars, that road is Sodera.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to do anything, they need to build it up so it's a good, good road.
Everyone has to be able to use the roads, so I mean, even the farm equipment is on the roads.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Yeah, it's rough even to try to get down there.
Yeah. It's not fun on township roads.
And that's the way most township roads are in the county. But I think at the end of the day, I mean, I'll just make a public comment here. I mean, I hope you understand that we're looking out for the county, and we're looking out for the roads. We're looking out for everybody that we can. We have a job to do. I don't understand, you know, we've got a professional engineer and a professional prosecutor's office that are putting these documents together. We're not willy-nilly in this. This has been done very professionally. We're trying to set precedent for the state here. So I hope you have confidence, and I don't think you do, but I hope you have confidence in what we're trying to do here, because I am super confident in this document and the professionals that put it together. And if you don't feel confident in it, I understand your position on solar, and it may be hard for you to... You have to understand we're neutral on this. We just want it to be done correctly. And that's I just want to state that, because I feel like you have absolutely no confidence in us just because you're against the project. And I'm just being honest. And I hate that, because
really,
that's not the way that we're operating.
Really, the sense that I got from Kyle and from Katie is that their highest goal was to protect the county.
Yeah. I don't know why it wouldn't be.
So
it doesn't. Was that Katie? You were there, wasn't you?
Yeah, I was there, and
that gets referenced back to the RUMA.
Yeah, and the RUMA is the protection of the county roads, as far as if they're going to use them, they have to make sure they don't abuse them, and if they mm-hmm. use them, they got to fix them back again. So
the roads could be better than they found them.
Well,
yeah,
I hope they
yeah.
That's hope.
They're going to be at least as good or better. I mean, it's kind of a good deal. So.
Right, and like Chris said, if there's going to be any kind of long-term blockage, I mean, sometimes they've had to close, you know, railroad tracks for a while. You have to let everybody who's the public entities, especially the schools, you have to let mm-hmm. them know, hey, this road's going to be closed for this period of time, so that they can make their arrangements to go around.
One of the things I believe we put in there as well, does it matter if that is the overall document, that anytime they're going to start working out there, they have to let your office know.
That's
so
that
every so you guys can call the commission office if you want to know that type of thing, but when something's going to be happening.
Anytime they're going to do work on there, not only through construction but afterwards, they have to notify the county there's a contact person, so that there is questions
right.
or coordinations, mm-hmm. that would be our contact with them, so that there's one point of contact so there's no confusion.
Do you know that when there's contractors out there now?
Are there contractors out there now?
You don't know?
No.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Well, then why should we trust you?
Now just what Chris just said, we were supposed to be told. So now.
So there are contractors.
That's true. It's not in effect yet.
Yeah. It's
not
been approved yet.
Nothing's in effect yet.
Yeah, just,
right.
They come to me and one. On my property to do it. I said, no, this is not even a true thing yet.
So our agreement has not gone into effect yet.
We have no control over that.
Right.
Because the agreement has not been approved through the Power Siting Board.
That is correct.
We're still in the application.
My driveway from our talking to somebody trying to get information to go.
Well, that's between you and them. At this point, we don't have anything in that.
That's true.
And to go to piggyback on what Rod said a little bit, I can tell you we're the first one in the state to even do any research and do
I've had commissioners from all over the state that have already been in these projects, ask them what we did, how we did it, because they just kind of, they didn't even question anything. So I applaud our legal staff, our engineer for digging into this. And
I do too.
I truly feel that we have a document that is the best that we can make at this point in time. Now, I'm not going to say there's not going to be something that comes up. There always is, but I know they're going through that frontwards and backwards, and we're here to protect you the best we can. But until that's approved, we don't have any teeth yet. We can't do anything. And we're sitting in limbo like you guys are.
And part of the reason why we have done all the work that we've done is because of you. Because you've been drawing attention to, hey, what about this? What about that? That's why we have these, you know, that we're glad that you came in, you tell us what's going on. We are neutral as a board. The state makes this decision. But because of your drawing attention to it, we have been diligent about making sure that this does not cost us anything. Because it's an agreement between a property owner and a company, and taxpayers should not be paying for any of it. The neighbors shouldn't have to be paying for anything. And so because of the attention you've drawn to it, it actually has made us more diligent. So I think it's all good.
My understanding, you know, why is this contractor coming in? And nothing's really been set down and writing yet.
Well, then that's...
What's the purpose of it?
That's going to be the agreement between the property owner and the company. Because our agreements aren't in place yet. We don't have anything other than this RUMA to protect our roads, which we're doing today. We don't have anything that, we don't have a dog in the fight yet, so.
But a contractor going on public property is no different than us having, I mean, contractors come on our property every day. It's no different than somebody working at your house. I mean, they're walking onto this property, they're looking at something. There's no, I mean, they've not broke ground, they've not started construction. So I don't know why we would be notified, even if, I mean, they're not going to tell us every time they walk on somebody's property. I hope they don't. Because I don't need to know that.
Well, I think they're going to.
Personally, I don't want to know.
I think it's big things. If once they start and they're going to be out there, I hope we're going to be notified. According to the agreement, we should be notified. So.
Well, I think I should have been notified. If I wouldn't have been there, I bet he would have just went ahead and did what he's supposed to.
Well, then that would be trespassing.
I sure hope not.
And that would be a problem. So yeah, they should not be allowed to trespass on your property because it's your property. So. Without your permission. So, thank you.
I just want to clarify a couple things. I do think I can, you know, speak for Ian, but we are appreciative, and we know you guys have worked hard on this, and you've been more diligent in all the work you guys have put into it. I think I can speak for everybody. You know, we feel like we were all kind of dropped in the middle of the creek and a little boat, and they probably put a bucket of manure in the boat before they put us in it. Just to clarify a couple things, you were right on, you know, talking about how many truckloads, if Brew Baker max out, go over the road, different road, different location. But I think you're saying a 2,500 acre farmer would ship out 500 truckloads. I think is that what you said?
Well, I was figuring on a good year, you're looking at 300 loads and you're hauling it in and hauling it out. So you're 300. I mean, that's.
I come up with 293. I'll just say 500 at first, and I'm just gonna.
I was doubling that because you got, if you're hauling it to the bend, you got to hold out. You're not just hauling it one direction.
Yeah.
I'm just using that as a reference point.
Yeah. Yeah,
500 loads a year versus every year over 10 years, that's 5,000 truckloads versus 1,200 one time. I was just trying to use that as a reference.
Yeah. And most 2,500 acre farmers are not
going to
have all their grain.
I'm just throwing it out there. Yeah.
And you did say that he was going to take some ground pictures too. I think the drone's a great idea. I'm glad you guys got the drone and going to do that. But he is going to take pictures from the ground too before the project starts, because there obviously be some stuff you wouldn't see from
from the air.
My understanding, I think he's going to have it on the truck, and so you're going to be able. I don't know. You'll, that's a Kyle question. I would say that I thought he said he was going to run it on the truck and then also run.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
That was what I heard.
Is we've been using the term LIDAR. Do you all know what LIDAR is by any chance? Because I didn't. If you know what
laser.
So LIDAR, you're flying over and it's sending down millions and millions of points. So it's literally checking the road. I mean, if it's off a quarter of an inch, it'll pick up on it. So we're going to fly over this road, and it's going to be throwing these millions of points in the back. You know, so we're going to have a perfect. We're going to know these roads like you wouldn't believe. If we're seeing if they're broke down, we're going to be able to tell. So I mean, it's very extensive. I mean, it's an $80,000 piece of equipment. And it's a drone. So I mean, that's what we're going through to make sure that this is done. Now they're paying for it. But I mean, and we can, you know. But I guess that's what we're trying to do. We're going to make sure these roads are put back as good or better than they found them. So
just make sure, you know, like if a culvert pipe at the end of it's 6 feet away from the road, and for some reason a truck goes off or something, we just want to make sure that if that's crushed, we knew it wasn't crushed before the project started.
Yeah.
Okay. I would think Kyle would have that in mind, but I'll shoot him an email and just say, hey, make sure, because you know that is something.
He said they'll probably be out there daily, so if somebody goes off the road like that, you're going to see it too. But he said they're going to be out there a lot, so it's a big deal.
Any more discussion? Any more discussion?
I have none.
Can we call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Rush?
Yes. Travel request? Thank you, Katie.
Thank you.
Accept an approval on the following travel request. Resolution 70.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Resolution 70. Judge Overmeyer and Heather Morton have requested permission to attend the Intercourt Conference in Columbus, March 11th through the 13th. Cost not to exceed $995. Resolution 71. Cindy Lee and Kathy Prophet have requested permission to attend the Intercourt Conference in Columbus, Ohio, March 11th through the 13th. Cost not to exceed $995. Resolution 72. Teresa Lay, Michelle Schaefer, Joe Betchers, Jimmy Williams, and Brent Knackstead have requested to attend the Intercourt Conference in Columbus, Ohio, March 11th through the 13th, 2020. Cost not to exceed
$2,465.
Resolution 73. Brent Knackstead. Is that his name? Knackstead? Knackstead,
yeah.
Has requested permission to attend OYAS Certification Training, Bowling Green, Ohio, January 7th through the 8th. Cost not to exceed $245.80. Resolution 74, Jody Betcher, TASC, has requested permission to attend the Ohio TASC Association 2020 monthly meetings in Columbus, Ohio on the third Wednesday of every month throughout 2020. Cost not to exceed $1,718.16. Resolution 75, Heather Morton and Donna Simpson have requested permission to attend the Reclaim Subsidy Grant Training meetings in Columbus on various dates throughout calendar year 2020. Cost not to exceed $515. Resolution 76, Jenny Kaltenbach and Shannon Webb have requested permission to attend the HR's Issues Training in Lewis Center on February 2nd and the 3rd, cost not to exceed $1,290. Resolution 77, Sandra Green, Robin Raper, and Natalie Maynard have requested permission to attend the Border Meeting Training in Madison, Indiana on February 26, 2020, cost not to exceed $262. Resolution 78, Nathan McDermott has requested permission to attend the Supervisor Roundtable Training in Dayton, Ohio, January 20th, February 26th, and March 25th of this year. Cost not to exceed $30. Resolution 79, Lori Cuckin has requested permission to attend the adoption training in various locations throughout Ohio throughout 2020. Cost not to exceed $500. And Resolution 80, Dispatcher Jennifer Pettin has requested permission to attend the Public Safety Telecommuter 1 in London, Ohio, August 10th to August 14th, 2020. Cost not to exceed $575.
Move to approve Resolution 70 through 80.
Second.
Any further discussion? Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes. At this time, I'll accept a motion to approve the vouchers.
Move to note receipt and approve by signing the vouchers submitted by the county auditor.
January 17th, that's this Friday.
Okay.
So we...
Oh, we have Monday holiday.
I'm going to be tied up all day. Can they sign or do you want to sign?
I can't sign.
You can't sign?
No.
I thought you could.
No, county administrator can sign.
Oh, Connie could and you... Okay. If I can probably come in late, probably.
I will be in Columbus, but
I can probably be in here by 3.
But Joe said she would try and get it to us sometime tomorrow, so it's possible that I might have it.
Tomorrow I can.
Tomorrow.
No, I can't.
Early Friday, I can run over before I head to Columbus.
Okay. And I can come either time, so. Just, I guess, send us a text, let us know that they're here.
It'll probably be 3 o'clock Friday until I can get in. Okay. I'll put it in.
You need a second on that.
We need a motion
altogether.
No,
Roddy
made the
motion. I made the motion.
Okay.
Second.
Thank you.
Kim, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes. Are there any additional items, Kim?
What?
I have Resolution 68 to designate the official representative and alternate for the purpose of voting at the annual meeting of the County Commissioners Association of Ohio during 2020.
That's usually the president. And the vice president,
correct? Moved to approve Resolution 68.
Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes. Move to approve Resolution 69.
Sorry.
Kim, would you call the...
Again.
Commissioner Creech?
What board? Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes.
Okay. I have Resolution 81, appoint two commissioners to the Investment Advisory Board. Normally it's the president and the vice president, but it doesn't have to be, so it has to be two commissioners.
I'd say keep the president and the vice president. Moved for Resolution 81.
Sorry.
Kim, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robertson?
Yes.
Resolution 82 is a supplemental appropriation of 46 cents into the transfer line of unclaimed money trust.
money that was in the general fund that they're long enough to.
Like, what is going on?
Move to approve resolution 82.
Second.
Can we just call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Commissioner Robinson?
Yes.
I have a letter. And we just have somebody approved by the board and signed by the president. It's just the annual report that was sent out to the State Historic Preservation Office as part of the agreement that we have in place with them for reviewing projects for, like, CDBG. We require a report every year for any projects that we have on our own deemed not necessary to coordinate with them. Basically, every year we just send them a letter and say, we didn't do any.
We need to have a motion.
Any projects that we do, I coordinate with the Historic Preservation Office.
Okay.
So we don't have any that we take that into our hands.
Okay.
Entertain a motion to note receipt and approve by signing the letter to the State Historic Preservation Office.
Second.
Can you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Creech?
Yes.
Commissioner Day?
Yes.
Then I want to make you aware of a letter that I received yesterday, or I should say late month. It is from the Ohio Development Services Agency regarding a pre-application letter that they received for the Village of Lewisburg for the Targeted Opportunity Downtown Program. Says the project appears to meet the requirements of the program as outlined in the Consolidated Action Plan. Eligible applicants are limited to the program year 2019 and 2020 allocation program counties and direct cities. Therefore, Preble County must apply on the Village of Lewisburg's behalf. There are a couple things that they need done before they would be willing to open up an application in the ocean system, and then the county will be responsible for it. I'm just pointing this out because this is the first I've heard of it. No one has coordinated with us about going for money. It's very clear in the state's book on funding for this that it would have to be done by a county. So while I'm fairly sure that I'm probably going to be doing this application, I'm also often happy that no one has bothered to tell anyone in our office that they wanted to do this or that they were submitting a pre-application evidently on our behalf.
What's this called again?
It's a Targeted Opportunity Downtown Program. Remember last year I told you that they did away with the Downtown Revitalization Program.
Right.
It falls under what they call their Target of Opportunity project and program. And they cut it way back so that the most they can do is like three to five buildings. And the funding amounts are lowered. I think the most they can get is $250,000. But like most of the other programs, there's very few that don't have to run through the county. And, you know, Lewisburg would like to continue on with the work that we did with the downtown revitalization, and that's, you know, a good thing, but it would be a better thing if they would at least, you know.
We have to take care of the application.
We have to take care of everything.
I know.
I'm wondering what step is that. I've not heard anything about it. I've been going to all their meetings. I wonder if it's not at the very beginning process. I mean, I've not even heard this discussed, and usually they're touting stuff up there.
Well, I mean,
I'll check and see where.
The application letter, so yes, it is the beginning, but
yeah.
Knowing that the county has to be the person that does all of it.
I agree, yeah.
I'm excited that they are anxious to finish what they're doing, but they really do need to understand that they need to coordinate with this office.
Well, and one of the things they want is an updated summary, you know, condition survey and summary, because the state has already, you know, given $500,000 practically for updates down there, and that was based on condition buildings at the time.
Right.
And we did lots of buildings and some infrastructure. And so it could be at this point in time, once they do that survey, you know, will it still have over 51% that
will be eligible?
Yeah, that would be considered slum and blight.
Right.
So that's one of the things that they're looking for.
I'll check into it and see where they're at and have them get a hold of you, because, yeah, they're, I don't know why they wouldn't have. What, Chris? Is that a bad thing to do? Try to get the communication going. I mean, that's what. I don't know what's funny about that, but I think we'll get the communication started between. I mean, it's huge if we can bring money into the county, and they're thriving right now. So I'm sure they. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I agree with you. They need to be communicating.
So you're gonna talk to somebody.
Yeah, I'll talk to Jeff.
And then we'll let
have.
It was.
Project for downtown revitalization. They didn't get any requests to extend the time frame. There wasn't a lot of, you know, problems with what was going on. But that's not typically what happens with most downtown revitalizations.
Well, using Lewisburg as an example in Tip City, I had a meeting in Tip City this week, and they did a downtown revitalization project in the last 6 or 8 years. The town was dead. They had empty storefronts. Nobody wanted to be there. And I am not kidding. I could not find a parking spot. I was meeting somebody for lunch. And the place is just thriving. I mean, downtown revitalization to me is just critical. So any money that we can get to bring into our city and villages, it's a no-brainer.
I understand that. And like I said,
yeah.
Right.
I was fairly sure that we would be moving forward with it as long as it, you know,
yeah.
That's important. Because they can't really do it without you.
Yeah.
With the county, without the county. Okay. All right. So, anything else, Kim?
Is that what's going on out there?
Yes.
We heard. Chris, Rodney. Well, first of all, did you guys get your prayer list? I printed them out with the new one. Okay, I got your list. So just wanted to let you know that. I'm gonna let them have the option of Monday or Wednesday. So if Wednesday sets in better, they can show up on Wednesday if they want. Are we not gonna do anything for Major Renner for his retirement?
That was brought to my attention too. I didn't think. Well,
do we not need to? Don't we want to accommodate? Well, somebody made the point that we made accommodation for a piano player that played piano for years in a church. And I think we maybe should do something, you know, at least recognizing his 38 years of service.
Just for clarification, though, we were asked to do it for that piano player. The sheriff, and I'm not throwing anybody, you know, the sheriff specifically asked all these people for these accommodations.
Oh,
I never thought about it. We wouldn't ask for one. So,
okay.
I mean, we kind of have a, I mean, I'm not making an excuse, but we kind of have a lot going on, and I don't think about it.
Well, no, I'm not saying we,
no.
I'm just saying,
yeah. Well,
we,
a comment was made to me that it was done on purpose, and I'm like, you know what, I didn't even think about it.
I didn't either until someone said, shouldn't we?
Yeah, they thought
we probably
didn't.
Should.
Yeah.
Are we
Well, I think it's appropriate. I just think it got overlooked. And
well, and part of it is too, when they ask for it, because they have to provide us with information. Because
yeah.
Okay.
I specifically got an email from the pastor about the piano player, and I called him, got all the
right.
information, got it to
okay.
Kim, and
so, I mean,
that's the way it usually
I'm
works.
I'm okay to,
yeah.
if we want to wait for the sheriff, we want to contact him, we want to just let it go. I prefer not to. I would really like for us to do something.
Yeah.
A little bit of, you know, recognition.
Honestly, I didn't even think about it until somebody said something.
Because, I mean, we didn't even really issue you guys an invitation to the
Yeah, I wasn't, I did not even know it was happening,
normally,
so I missed
they
it.
At least make you aware that they're doing something,
right.
Yeah. I think I saw it on Facebook.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm. I saw it on Facebook.
Okay, and I think that's how other people saw it too. Which is
I mean, it wasn't. I think originally it was supposed to be a surprise.
Oh.
It was supposed
okay.
to be a surprise and ended up not being a surprise, kind of like every other surprise party. That originally it was supposed to be a surprise, and I found out, yeah, it was
okay.
a private, like a private.
Well, so. I just think we should do something.
I do too. 38 years.
That's fine, but the only thing is that if you do it for him, if you forget somebody else, you're going to be chastised. I mean, we've done it on a request basis.
Right.
Well, if we and I agree with Denise, if we did it for a piano player to church, we should by golly do it for a sheriff deputy, I think. I think so.
Well,
yeah.
When he gets back from vacation.
Or wherever, you know, whatever he's doing now, I mean.
Yes. So if you could contact the sheriff, see if he can give us some information to put in resolution, because I really do think we should. So. So how did the new car drive? You drove it Friday? Our new commissioner car?
Oh, it's fine. It needs some maintenance on it.
Need
some windshield wipers. Of course, it ran like crazy.
Oh, of course. All right, so we'll take care of that. So the blue car, should we just give that to land use to use when they want? Because they use it now.
Well, they do now, and there could be other offices that need a county car. It would still, I would just give it a county car.
Okay, because I'm just
because
just
sometimes
to
building maintenance, you know, like if Bob is attending a training. That would
right.
allow him to leave the trucks here
right.
and take a county vehicle to the
truck. Okay, so we're okay to do that? Just continue to use the car? Okay, all right. I think that's all I have.
Second.
Can we call the roll?
Commissioner Day.
Yes.